Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment from yesterday. What we realize is that suffering in any content area is caused by the karma, not the content. However, we're conditioned to frame it around the content. Assignment: choose a behavior change that addresses the karmic bamboozle, not the content issue. Make sure you choose something that is within the focus for the month and can be practiced for a week. For example, record as I'm preparing to eat as a way to be present to my choices. Make a commitment poster that states your behavior change. Make a recording that, one, refutes the self-hating messages, and two, replaces the conditioned conversation with what you choose instead. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Steve. Hello, hey, this Steve. Is Steve. Hi.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. Oh, well.
What you committing to?
To recording when I'm preparing to eat.
Oh, good. That's a good one, isn't it?
It is. Because I've been looking forward to doing more frequent recording, so it's really helping a lot.
Well, that's a perfect combination, isn't it? People will say, well, you know, I don't have time to record, or when will I record, or, you know, I never think to record. Well, tie it to something that you do several times a day, at least a few times a day, and there.
Yes. It also answers the question of, how can I enjoy preparing to eat more? Because I always feel better after I record.
Yes. And so why not prepare your food with somebody who loves you unconditionally? That's a nice way to do it.
Yes. Someone who loves me unconditionally.
Don't you think? That guy who is interested in helping you prepare food and being with you as you do that and as you eat that food and enjoy it?
Yes. I think I'll even go shopping with that person.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. You know, again, it's what we've all wanted forever. Somebody who loves us unconditionally, wants to listen to us 24 hours a day, wants to be with us no matter what's going on, wants to help us do whatever needs to be done. And who knew that that person has always been there inside us, waiting for us to notice and choose, in your case, him, in my case, her, to be the companion that we've always dreamed of to go with us through life.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, Steve, along those lines, just to make that connection, there was a time in our lives when we knew that. You know, you watch little kids play, and they're not looking, I mean, after a certain point they are, but they're perfectly content with their own company. They are complete, right? Being right there with themselves. And that's what we, you know, that's what we lose as we are socialized.
Yeah. In a few minutes, I'll be at work, and I'd like to be that person too, or with that person.
Yes. And the more we practice with it, the more we realize it really is true. He does not care what's going on with you. He just wants to be with you. And the other good thing about him is, because he's presence, he has the ability to enjoy anything. And so the more you're with him, instead of that voice in the head, the happier you're going to get. All right. Well, have fun at work, huh?
All right. I will. Thanks.
All right. As we say, go happy.
Go happy.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. It's just so mind-boggling, right, Cherry? But it's mind-boggling to wrap our head around, wrap conditioned mind around the notion that presence is there, and it's so perfectly tailored to me.
Yes!
Not the me of ego, but just me.
Yes.
And that it's not
the human incarnation.
Right. There is no, we were talking about this recently on retreat, that there's such a conditioned notion that to have someone be there for you implies another human being. But to recognize and practice with the ability to play multiple roles within this one incarnation, because we do have the ability to do that and to know that we're not alone in that way, is just a radical notion.
Well, yeah.
Not one person. It's actually many.
Right. And it's a radical notion until we stop and consider that every religion and every spirituality that has ever existed, including what the Buddha taught, right, which seems very outside of most of those traditional approaches, everything has been saying the same thing. There is an authentic nature. There is a true nature. What is that thou art? God, the kingdom of God is within you. It's there. We just don't take it as seriously as we might take it should we decide we want to live in gratitude and joy all the time.
Yes. Well, we're only meant to take seriously that the ego is also a very specific formation tailored to this human incarnation, right?
Right.
It's me. I can take that seriously.
Yeah.
I believe
that.
Yeah.
And just one other thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, just that it feels like a single entity, and that's easier to associate because that's how I'm conditioned and it's me.
Yes.
Not me is multiplicity. That's a very interesting notion that we're not actually conditioned to identify with.
No, even though it's completely obvious if we stop and look for even a few minutes that I am 15 different people in the course of a day. With all these different opinions and beliefs and standards and all of that, we're still meant to believe I'm this one monolithic entity. But the thing that, with awareness practice, what we get to see is, okay, so there I am going through life believing that I'm the ego. What is it that's aware of that? That's what we're seeking, and that's what's seeking us. So the ability to watch myself do whatever, it's that we're seeking, not the whatever I'm doing.
Yeah. It's really easy.
All right.
Step into that. Huh? All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Can you hear me? It's Otto here.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you seeing?
Can you hear
what
me
are you
properly?
Doing? What are you going to commit to?
So I committed, my issue was the belief that nobody likes my food, meaning nobody likes the food I like. And in general, it was that nobody likes what I like. That is my the bigger process, you know. And so I had two fantastic experiences yesterday. My commitment was to share my food at the first occasion without tweaking it, so without adapting it to my idea of what the other person would like. You know, like adding fat to it or whatever, changing it. Like, nobody likes it the way I do, you know?
Something like putting salsa on the pasta?
Yeah. I like it very simple, but they have exactly add something else on it that is more in line with what they like, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it was fantastic because I made the commitment in the morning, and two things happened. First, my business partner arrived, and he had forgotten his lunch at home. And I said, perfect, share my lunch.
That's great. Uh-huh.
And
how did he do?
It was so interesting because while I was preparing it, I was down to add stuff. Like, let's put more salt. Oh, let's add some whatever, you know, to make it according to the idea of what I thought that I, because, oh, he's a man, he eats more, or he's a man, he eats differently. You know, he likes more heavy stuff. I don't know, all my idea of what somebody else would like. And I made the effort to just share it exactly the way I would eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, of course, he said he loved it, but, I mean, he wouldn't have said, no, I like it. Well, but anyway, he loved it. But the super interesting thing was that a couple, like half an hour later, I found something that I found very funny online, and I shared it with a group of people, and people wrote to me, how can you share that? That is so offensive. Please erase that picture. That's terrible. How can? And so I realized that the problem is sharing the things that I like, and not the problem is not other people liking it or not.
Oh, gosh. Ashwini, did we just lose Asota?
Oh, she, oh, them.
Oh, no, no.
Wait
a minute. Yeah, go back. The problem is not whether other people like it or dislike it.
Like, exactly. Because, you know, on one thing I was so worried that he wouldn't like it the way I like it, and he said he loved it. On the other hand, I was sure something was funny and just interesting, and people were so offended that they said, please erase this photo from the message group because this is so offensive. And I was shocked, you know. And it was so interesting because, so it's, I cannot use the other person's reaction as a way to, you know, I'm not able to explain it, but does it make sense?
Right. Well, basically, I think what you're saying is you're looking to somebody else's reaction. You're conditioned to look to somebody else's reaction to have information about you, right? Rather than letting go the idea that people don't like you, they don't like what you eat, they don't, that you're so different and isolated. Right?
Exactly.
Right? Because we can all, maybe I don't like to eat the same thing you eat, but that doesn't mean I don't like you or that I don't want to spend time with you or that I don't want to eat with you, right? Those meanings that get attached to things are not legitimate.
Exactly, but it's so amazing how I saw this karma everywhere since we started looking at it. Do you know that my best friend told me, oh, you know, I think I'm going to do a meditation retreat, and one of my big things is, I'm the only one who likes Zen and meditation. And do you know what I told her? Oh, I don't think you will need that. You're so wise anyway. Why would you need that? Instead of saying,
whoa,
that's great, right? Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, well, that's a good karmic catch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because what you're pointing at that's so important for all of us is that lens that we're looking through, it has one aim, and that is to reinforce itself.
Exactly.
Right? So if your best friend is going to get interested in meditation, that karma is going to try to discourage her, because if both of you are meditators, what does that do to the I'm weird. I'm on the outside.
Exactly.
Nobody likes
exactly.
Me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I love this. I love this year. It's so fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Keep
Goodbye.
Having fun.
Gasha.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Asoka. What I saw in that show is it's such an ego maintenance strategy,
Aww.
Right? That in the identity of being the only one that is who whatever it is, my food is not what anyone else likes, or I'm not what anyone else likes, or whatever else. That in order to maintain that, we don't see that the maintenance is of ego, and that if that is not maintained, there's a connection, a uniqueness of me that can connect to the authenticity in someone else through a celebration of what is common between us that we don't get to experience.
Yes.
And the uniqueness might be... Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead. No, I thought you
were... Well, just that if I like to eat pasta with salsa on it and somebody else likes to eat pasta with pesto on it...
Marinara sauce.
But the point... Well, marinara sauce, the celebration is... In delighting at our differences, going back to our earlier conversation of the multiplicity of life.
Yes.
As opposed to wanting to be special and different and trying to maintain that, which is ego separation strategy.
That's right. Because special and different can be I'm the worst.
Yes.
Right? We don't want to read that as anything other than ego will do anything to keep us separate,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, that's exactly where I was going. That if we could get the hang of, oh, you like to eat that? Oh, that's really interesting. Let's have dinner together. I want to taste that. I want to see what that's
mm-hmm.
like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than I like what I like and you like something different, so we can never be friends,
mm-hmm.
which is.
Until
Always
you like
there.
What
ego
I like,
going.
Right?
Yeah, but exactly.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sharon and Sweeney. This is Margaret from Nashville.
Well, hello, Margaret.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
So nice. Well, you know, I'm fortunate enough, I signed up for a morning with a mentor this period. The basic assignment is to record and listen for 10 minutes in the morning. And, in the past, that would have been really challenging for me. But what it's in conjunction with this, you know, the year-long retreat, what it's prompted me to do is record many times and listen many times throughout the day. And for me, it was kind of like, I want to invite the mentor to the table with me, wherever, you know, whatever table I'm at. So in the morning, and then, so my commitment is to record in the morning, an early morning recording and before I eat, and then just to record and ask for support, like invite the mentor to my table as my companion before I start the next period. So kind of in that transition time between.
Oh, yeah. Let's underline that one, because as we're fond of saying in practice, you know, all of our difficulties happen in transition because that's the place that it's easiest for ego to drag us into unconsciousness, because I'm no longer here, I'm no longer there, and blah, 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 blah. And so to record and listen in transition, go ahead, say more.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I noticed in particular, my initial commitment the first week was to record in the morning and then record in the evening before I went to bed with celebrations and appreciations and maybe attentions for the next day. But I noticed that the way I get talked out of it is like it'll drop in about, you know, 5 o'clock or something, you know, earlier in the evening to do it. And then it's like, oh, well, it's not the end of the day yet. You should wait till, you know, it's time for bed, or some other time. And yeah. My God, when it's time for bed, I'm tired and I forgot completely what I'm, you know,
even
happy about. And I, it's just time for bed, you know?
Yeah. It's such a scam, isn't it? Such a con. And so, of course, the beautiful way around that is, well, I can record now and I can record then as well. It's not
I can.
Right?
That's right.
To record now, so I think I'm going to record now. And then maybe I'll put a little post-it note on my mirror so as I'm brushing my teeth, I remember. And then, I'll be able to add another recording. You can just see Ego over there gnashing its imaginary teeth, right? Because that's the kind of thing that's never supposed to occur to us.
Yeah, I know. It was just like, oh, of course, I could just do it earlier and have, you know, have met my commitment, but then also it just adds extra support. And what I noticed too is the evening is a time I can, sometimes, you know, go unconscious. Like I can make choices that are not in support of the body and, you know, like I can work too long or I can say, forget it. I'm just going to go out and, you know, I mean, not like I go
have
partying, but, you know, for lack of a better, okay, have a blast. Right. I'm going to go stay up late or I'm going to eat a late dinner, you know, just things that sound really fun, but in the end, I know don't really support me. So I'm excited about having the opportunity to really touch in with tune in with my body and what is my body wanting for, you know, the next activity or the next few hours. And, you know, be proactive about that.
Exactly. Be proactive. And that you mentioned at night the intention for the next day, which is great, right? So I'm looking at tomorrow, and I kind of have a sense of how my life is going to probably go. So how do I want to be with that? Not a to-do list, but how do I want to be with all of that? And what you're pointing at is you can do that in every transition. You know, we get off of this show or call or whatever we want to, however we want to talk about that. And what now? Well, take a minute, right? Talk to the mentor. Check in with the body. What now? Instead of just letting ego race us off to the next conversation it's going to have with us about how to mess up our lives.
Yeah, it really, like that karmic part of it is just habitually relying and going to figuring out, or let's think about this, or let's, you know, the karmic, you know, the ego conversation. And it might have just been the last caller where you said something like, you know, it's a way to be present to my choices.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really appreciated hearing. I think this commitment is a way to do that, and that has been kind of a theme for myself, is to be more present to my choices and actually, you know, choose my choice and be in it rather than just kind of in that dabbler, you know, and not, you know, just instead of just, you know, dipping the toe in here and there. It's like, no, this is my commitment, is to, let's be present to, this is what I'm choosing. Okay, is this really the experience I want to be having?
That's right. And the more we do that, the more we're able to do that. The more my commitment is to being present, the more present I will be. The more present I am, the more I will be committed to being present. And that is how we start turning the wheel of karma away from suffering. Isn't that a good thing? Yeah.
Thank you,
Margaret.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Margaret. Sure, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Carol from Port Townsend. And let's see, the karmic thing that I was looking at was that life is hard and it's not quite good enough. And so the habitual behaviors are looking for distraction or trying to make it better. And Sometimes I make it better with food. Like when I was a kid, there's that saying, things go better with Coke. Which things go better with sugar, you know. So when things are,
right.
when I need some compensation because things are hard, then I go to sugar. Or when things are really good, I go to sugar in celebration.
Yeah, that's
of
a celebration. Yeah, absolutely.
But all that doesn't work. So what I chose as my commitment, my behavior change is in the morning and in the evening to record gratitudes, kind of, you know, that just means being present to what is and the
yeah.
loveliness of how things are instead of the karmic idea that things are hard or that they need to get better than they are.
Yes, and Carol, it's so important because the being present to gratitude is the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Being
yeah.
present is the celebration, not what's happening in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which takes us again to it's the process of it. It's the attitude of mind and heart that makes it a celebration, not whatever the heck we're doing or ingesting.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The other thing
right.
that strikes me about what you said as so important is that advertisement that many of us who are old enough to remember that grew up with is a perfect example of what we're up against. So we are,
mm-hmm.
what is advertising? It just brainwashes us with that, right? It just puts it into our head at every turn. And so when we're drinking Coke, it doesn't occur to us to wonder, do I really like this? Do I like the way I feel? Is this good for me? Is it? None of that occurs to us because we are brainwashed to believe that everything is better with Coke. And that is what has happened to us across the board. We have been brainwashed to believe that these messages in our head are true and real, and we have to follow them and do what they say. And if we're not happy as a result, well, that's your fault, right? Because
mm-hmm.
there's something wrong with you because everything is better with Coke. So there,
right.
we've given you the formula and you're
right.
failing.
I know. Another thing that where that came up was it's summer, it's beautiful, it's lovely, it's hot, and that means ice cream, you know, because that's a celebration of how lovely it is in summer. And I thought, I don't really want ice cream, you know.
But you have to have it because that's the right way to celebrate summer. Yeah.
Right. So it's that thing about, you know, like gratitude is the way to celebrate rather than
yeah.
things
yeah.
or
yeah.
certain kinds of food. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. That is so big because just think, if we weren't bringing conscious awareness to this, you would just be eating ice cream every day because it would never occur to you to question it. It's just what
mm-hmm.
you do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
like what you do is get through the to-do list. That's just what you do. It's the right thing to do. Why would you ever want to question that? It's so obvious. Everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Carol. Enjoy the summer
mm-hmm.
day, huh?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks, Carol.
Yeah.
It's very Pavlovian, right, Terry? The associations that we develop and that presence to just question them before we actually execute on a program.
Yes. That's the, in Zen, of course, you know, we're always on about the, is that so? Is that so? Is that true? Now, how do you know that? Now, who says so? Is that your experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't feel like it is something that we so, it's just interesting, right? More often than not, I don't feel like it is against doing something that takes care of you. And the opposite of
yes.
it is also true. I don't feel like it, but I have to. You know, that's right. The other side of that yeah. dynamic.
Yeah. I should want to eat ice cream because it's the thing
Summer.
To do. It's the dumb thing. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So our assignment for today, beginning today, your daily practice will be to, one, start your day by listening to a recording from day 20, two, practice your behavior change, and three, record what you notice at the end of the day.
Mm. I can just feel the conscious awareness rising. You know, I can just feel us all so much more present. Very exciting.
Mm. Very
Thanks
exciting.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye. Go happy, everybody.